you don't mind, please. You'll be turning in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, one of the greatest books in the Old Testament for the gospel. As many times it is called the gospel, it's called the gospel book of the Old Testament. And there's much scripture in this book that pertains to the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the blood that He shed, the sacrifice that He made, that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. I want to read a few verses here and then try to bring the thought that God's laid on my heart for tonight, okay? The Bible said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba is for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." Let's bow our heads. That's all I'm going to read, I think. Let's read one more verse. "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth." I may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's look to Him in just a moment of prayer and ask God's help on the service tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the good singing we've enjoyed and the fellowship. It's been a blessing to be in God's house this day, this morning, and tonight. Likewise, I pray You'll bless Your people with the Word of God. I realize, Lord, that only You can stir our hearts and meet our needs, and only You can love us, Lord, as we need to be loved. And so I pray that You'll wrap Your arms of mercy and grace around us tonight and draw us close to Thy heart. Lord, that You'll speak sweet peace to our soul. I pray You'll bless us, Lord, as only You can. Save sinners now. Bless those that are sick tonight, those that are away from us, those that have afflictions in their bodies. Give grace, I pray, to those that need it, those that are fighting the good fight of faith and waging battles tonight. I pray for them. Have Your divine will and way, and may it be done and accomplished. And we'll thank You, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Twice in this passage of Scripture, Isaiah penned down the two words that the Lord has spoken when He said, "Fear not, fear not." You know, fear is real. Fear is a painful thing. The Bible says, or the dictionary says, that it is an emotion or a passion that is excited by expectation of evil or apprehension of some impending danger. And I think we've all been there once or twice in our life when we had some expectation of evil about to approach us, and it no doubt has filled our hearts with fear. I look back to the time I spent in Vietnam overseas. Many times there was fear that filled my heart from what was going on around me. And so much so, there was a few times I didn't think that Brother Hall would ever see America again. But I'm glad that he brought me back safe and sound. And you know, there's many different things that people fear in life. I know there's some people that fear heights. And then there's others that not just fear heights, you know, like flying in a plane or something of that nature. I can say amen right there. It used to not bother me, but I don't like them airplanes anymore. Amen. Especially since they started letting certain fellas ride on them. You know what I'm saying? And I won't say much more about that. I'm on the radio tonight. But I have got somewhat of a fear of heights, and especially with this PD that I have. If you don't, if you're not as skillful on your legs any more skillful than I am, you got a right to fear heights. Because I'm telling you, I get 6 inches off the ground, I'm subject to fall. Say amen right there. And so sometimes heights is a little troubling for me, and it is for others. You know, other people fear speeds, high rates of speeds. I don't like to drive fast in automobiles unless I'm under the wheel. And some folks don't want me to ride with me at all when I'm under the wheel. Say, you fellas can say amen to that. Hallelujah. And in fact, I put the fear of God in some of these fellas in here from riding with me down the road. And they put the fear of God in me riding down the road a few times. Brother Bell passed a tractor trailer down on 24 one afternoon. He said he wasn't, but I'm telling you he was. It was raining so hard you couldn't see. And he went out around that tractor trailer running 95 mile an hour in my pickup. He says he wasn't, but now I'm telling you, I'm the one sitting there was hanging on, gripping on to the grips as hard as I could. And Brother Bill was just as, he was just as casual as he, just laid back and was trucking right on like nothing was going on and you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you. And, but I got just a tad bit shook up. But there's a lot of people that are, afraid of those heights and speeding and one thing and another. And there's just a number of things in life that people can be afraid of or have a fear of. And I want to mention just a few of those tonight and bring the thought out of here on fear not. Fear not. Isaiah says, fear not. The Lord has told his people, fear not. And we fear about many things in the ministry, fear about many things in our spiritual life. But he said, fear not, for I am with thee. And we'll get into much about that, I hope, in just a moment. But there's a lot of things, you know, many times the devil will whisper in our ear things that is just not true. That'll cause us to fear. And many times we'll come up against an adversary that will cause us to fear. But the Lord said, fear not. I believe that refers to absolutely nothing. There's nothing in this life that we ought to fear. We do, by nature, the flesh does, but the spiritual man ought to fear nothing or nobody. Only God ought to be the one that we fear. But I want to mention a few things that I think we ought to fear tonight, or that some people do fear. You know, I think some people fear the future, not knowing what tomorrow holds. And most of the time, those things that we fear mostly in the future never come to pass anyway. We fear things that on tomorrow that never come about on tomorrow. We fear tomorrow and fail to trust God for today. And we try to get our minds thinking too far along. One day at a time, the songwriter said. Yes, and that's how we ought to trust God, just one day at a time. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. And so just serve God one day at a time. Live one day at a time. And don't fear what tomorrow may bring. We may be fearing something tomorrow, and tomorrow may hold a great blessing. The Lord said he had the power to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There'd not be room to receive it all. And so really there's no need to fear tomorrow. Now I know that many people fear tomorrow because of death. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. Tomorrow may bring death for you or for me, either one. I may not make it out of this building tonight and you may not either. But by the grace of God, I hope to make it back to that green chair one more time. But if I don't, I know I've got the assurance in my heart I'll be sitting in a chair much more comfortable than that green one over there. I'll be seated together in heavenly places with him. And I don't know what kind of chair he's got up there that we're going to be sitting in, but I'm going to tell you it's far, far better than that green recliner sitting over at my house or whatever kind of recliner you've got sitting in your house. We're going to be seated together in those heavenly places. You know, and some people in the future, they fear sickness, of being sick, or they fear some kind of disease. We worry ourselves sick worrying about being sick. And you know, sometimes it does happen. You know, I think of Brother Andy, and I don't think Brother Andy was worrying himself sick, but sickness came upon him. And sickness might come upon you and I tomorrow as well.
Right.
Some dreaded disease may very well invade our body. Even some coronary disease may invade our body. Brother Steve was just telling me last night about a man. You probably know him, and I'm sure some of you in here, Brother Spivey, I think he's 54 years old, something like that, that just died recently and from a coronary disease. We never know these things, but there's a lot of people just sit around and worry about being sick all the time. And every time they get a pain in their big toe, they run to the doctor. If they get a little snot running out of their nose, they run to the doctor. It doesn't make a difference what happens. We got to run to the doctor. I'm going to be honest with you. We run to doctors a whole lot more today than what we ever did when Brother Hall was a boy growing up. And I'm not against being having good hygiene. I think we ought to have good personal hygiene. I think we ought to take a bath at least once a month on Saturday night. Amen. But I'm not against personal hygiene. That's not our Savior. Personal hygiene, as far as just being carried away with it, is not going to prevent us from being sick. And I said that to say this. When I was a young boy growing up, sickness very seldom invaded our family. There was 9 of us that lived in a little 2-room house. We had 1 water bucket and what we called a water dipper. And all 9 of us drank out of that dipper. And as far as I know, I'm the only one out of that family that I ever remember spent time in the hospital. And I did because of a kidney infection. And none of the rest of my brothers or sisters ever spent time in the hospital at all. My mother had surgery one time. She spent time in the hospital because she had enough kids. She spent half her life in there having children. But that was, you know, other than that, none of us spent time in the hospital. And today, I don't think we let ourselves build up an immune system to any kind of sickness or disease at all. And the first time we get a sniffle, we want to pop a pill or this or that for it. And sometimes we just overload, and it doesn't make us any better. But a lot of people worry themselves sick about being sick. And then there's a lot of people worry about sorrows. They worry about what tomorrow may bring. Will I lose a loved one? Will I lose a friend? Will I lose a spouse? All these things can happen. But I'm going to tell you, as I said earlier, let tomorrow take care of itself. Let us consider the day and live for today. For we know what a day may bring forth for you and I. And then there's a lot of people who worry about suffering. And I don't want to suffer. I've had my share of it so far in the last 12, 15 years. I think I have anyway. I've had pains and aches all over my body from time to time. And I'm the worst. It seems like we want to complain about it. And I'm the world's worst to complain. I mean, if I get hurting a little bit, I got to let the whole countryside know that I'm hurting. But nonetheless, future, we fear the future of suffering. But the Lord said, fear not. The Lord said, fear not. And here's some things that was taking place in Israel's life I want to mention, and some reasons why that the Lord told them not to fear these things. But he said, fear not, number one, because of my power. Don't fear. Don't fear because of my power. Notice what he said in verse 1. He said, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Now get these words. That created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel.
Right.
Now, the fact of the matter is, and the truth there, Jacob and Israel are both one person.
Right.
They are the same person. But he said, fear not, O Jacob, fear not, for I am he that created thee. I believe that's talking about the natural man.
Right.
And talking about the creation. God tells us we ought not to fear because, hey, he created us.
Right.
God took the dust of the earth and created out of the dust of the earth man, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I've heard people all my ministerial years, try to tell me what that breath of life was. I've had some that believe that it was blood that he breathed in the nostrils of Adam. Well, that may be so. I wouldn't gainsay that, but the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so I doubt seriously that it was the blood that he breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life. I personally believe it was Adam's spirit. Adam had a body, and God breathed into his nostrils soul and spirit and made him alive.
and brought him alive. When he sinned, the spirit of Adam died. That's why a man's got to be regenerated again. He's got to be regenerated. When that spirit died, soul and body spiritually died along with that. But the Lord said, hey, don't fear not, because my power, I've created Jacob. And then he said, I've formed Israel. Same person, only a spiritual person. God said, what are you fearing about? If I've got enough power that I can take a little handful of dust and make your sorry carcass out of a handful of dust, then I can take that same sorry carcass of yours and start doing a work on the inside of it and begin to form and shape and make you into the image of my own person. What have you got to fear? What have you got to worry about? If I have that kind of power, that I have the power to give you life, and I have the power to take that life away. And by the way, I'm the only one that has that power to give you life. I'm the only one that has that power to take that life away. So what have you to fear? That is my power. It's all sufficient. It will take care of you. It took care of Israel, and it will take care of you and I today. So fear not, he said, because of my power. He said, Jacob, I created you. He said, Israel, I formed you. I've made you what you are. Lord, take the Lord to rejoice out of that.
Amen.
Amen. If God has the power to take an old hunk of clay, that's all we were, just an old hunk of clay, and put us on the potter's wheel and begin to make a vessel out of us that is meet for the master's use. And by the way, he has got the power to make us what he wants us to be. He's got the power to make us what we ought to be. We ought to worry about what we're going to be. If we're saved, he's got the power to make us what we ought to be. And by the way, he's going to see that through, by the way. Amen. He's going to take care of that situation for us. I'll guarantee you on that. God that created us, God that saved us, God that is forming in us, the Lord Jesus, and may, hey, he has the power, ladies and gentlemen, he has the power to watch over you and I. And I'm going to say secondly, not only to fear not because of my power, but fear not because I have purchased thee. Notice what else he said. He said, but now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed thee. A lot of people don't understand that word redeem means to purchase. He said, I have purchased you. I have bought you with a price. You're not your own. I want to ask you something. Why in the world, come on and listen to me now, why in the world should you and I go around fearing what belongs to somebody else? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I belong to the Lord. So why should I worry? I don't even belong to me. I have no right to worry about this possession because it's not mine. It's the Lord's. He bought it. He shed his blood and purchased me and you on the cross of Calvary. We were standing as sinners on the slave market of sin, owned by the devil, and nobody wanted us. Nobody. Until Jesus stepped up and said, Father, I'll take him. Now, I'm going to tell you, he got a sorry lot when he got us. But I'm going to tell you something, we're going to be full of grace and mercy when this thing closes out. Amen. We're sorry now, not much to us right now. But we ain't rolled off the assembly line yet, ladies and gentlemen. God's work has only begun on you and I. Amen. Hey, that's right. His work's only started on us. He's going to continue that work until that day that this body of ours is redeemed from the dust of the earth and we roll off an incorruptible individual, perfect in every aspect, body, soul, and spirit, without flaw and without blemish in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. So, fear not, said I've got, because of my power. And fear not, because I purchased you. Why should we worry about something that we don't own? That'd be like me worrying myself sick over Brother Ricky's car back there. Or worrying myself sick over your house. I don't own your house. Why should I worry about it? That's not my worry. Why should I worry about... What are you laughing about?
I don't own your house. I don't own you.
But fear not, he said, because of my power and because I purchased you. Then fear not, because you're my possession. He said, thou art mine. We belong to him. We're his wonderful possession. That's right. I don't know about you, but what few possessions I have, I want to keep them. And the Lord's not worried at all about keeping that which belongs to him. He told the Father, said, out of all them that thou gavest me, have I lost none, save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, if you're an Armenian in here tonight or listening by the way of radio, and you've got the idea that the Lord's going to lose anything that belongs to him, you need to go back and read your Bible. That's right. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I tell you, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He's not going to lose anything, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He's not going to lose anything. He has already made the statement, Father, I would that where I am, there they may be also. For what reason? That they may behold my glory. Friend, has it ever occurred to you that he has purchased us with his power, that someday we're going to behold the glory of God? Not just an earthly image, but all the glory of God in all his majestic beauty. I'm talking about the Godhead in its fullness. And by the way, I'm not a Jesus-only guy either. I do believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all equal in attributes and power. One God, not three gods, just one God, three persons manifest himself in one God. And some of these days, all of that glory of that Godhead, you and I are going to see, hallelujah, and stand in the presence of. What a wonderful day that's going to be. That's right. I know that's right. Now, we're his possession. He said, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Now, Noah said, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because of my presence. He said, I will be with thee. Amen. Boy, somebody said, well, what if I die? Well, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not really looking to go home on the next load. But I'm going to tell you something. Fear and death, the sting of death is gone. The sting of death is gone, and I suppose there is some fear in death for all of us. But we oughtn't to really fear that death a lot. For he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will be with thee. And friend, he will be with us. That's right. All the way to the end. I'm going to tell you something. When he started that work in you and took up residence in you and I, he made us a promise that he'd never leave us and never forsake us. And he'll not do that. Right. God will be, he'll be there. And I believe what Harold Sadler said, that even the Holy Spirit that lives within us, when we die, this is his tabernacle. Our body is his tabernacle. He dwells within us. When we die, I don't believe the Spirit of God leaves that tabernacle. Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, you're crazy. You're a nut. Let me alone. I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen. But I believe the Holy Ghost is going, he's going right into that grave with me. And when the Son of God descends from heaven with a shout, the Holy Ghost is going to nudge you in your spiritual rib and say, it's time to get up. Yeah. Amen. He's going to hear the sound. He's going to hear the shout. It's going to be him that quickens, get this now, that quickens our mortal body and raises us incorruptible out of the grave. He's going to mark that grave. I'm telling you, he knows right exactly where every one of his children are buried right now, whether it be on land or whether it be on sea. That's right. He knows where you are, where they are, and he knows where we're going to be. So fear not. Fear not, because of my presence, and fear not because of my protection. Now, I want to mention about three things here real quick. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. In other words, God's protection. Fear not, because I'm going to protect you. Those waters, the waters, they're not, hey, when you pass through them, I'm going to be with you. And the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. And because of His protection, I thought about three things, rivers and water and fire. And I've been through them so many times, but, you know, I've got to visit these places one more time. Because I love to go back to them in my heart. They mean something to me in my life. I think about passing through those waters that will not overflow us. And I thought about the Red Sea. As the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, and they had nowhere to go but forward. And that's the direction God told them to go. Although it seemed like an impossibility to go that way, God told them to go that way anyhow. Go forward. Why? For Christ thou unto me, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, hey, did not the waters part?
That's right.
The waters did not overflow Israel. They went through not only on ground, dry ground.
Right.
Not muddy ground, dry ground. But I'm going to tell you, the Egyptians trying to do the same thing. Because they lacked the faith that Israel had, the waters overflowed them and they all drowned in the Red Sea. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that with all my heart. Somebody said it was the Reed Sea, friend, that was only 6 inches of water. Miracle of all miracles. I'm telling you, if it was, God drowned the whole army in 6 inches of water. Say amen right there. It wasn't a Red Sea, it wasn't a Reed Sea, it was a Red Sea. Amen. And God parted that water and they went through. I think about the rivers. It will not overflow thee, the rivers. I thought about the Jordan. They come to the Jordan River. The water was cut off and stood up on a heap. And again, they went on dry ground. And not only went across on dry ground, but went across and went and got 12 stones and brought them back and put them out in the middle of them and went back before the Lord ever turned the water loose. Isn't that wonderful? Now I'm getting somewhere. What about the fire that won't kindle upon thee? I think about those children. Three Hebrew boys down in the land of Babylon.
Amen.
They got through in that fire, got through in that furnace, and fell down, bound hand and foot in the furnace. But it wasn't long till the old Nebuchadnezzar saw four in there, and they were loose and walking around.
Amen.
And he said, "By the way, one of them looks like the Son of God." And by the way, it was the Son of God, not a Son of God, the Son of God that was there with him. And them boys come out of there without even a stench of the smell of that furnace did upon them. The smoke. You couldn't even smell the smoke on them. They weren't burned in anywhere. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. The troubles and trials of our life. When we pass through the waters, when we pass through the seas, they'll not overflow us. They'll not overtake us. The fires will not kindle upon us of trial. Because God is there with us. To protect us. All the way through them. Brother, I'm telling you, some of you in here has been through some trials. I could begin to name some things that some of you have been through. That I know personally. In your life. That's been difficult for you and your family. But God's helped you all the way through it. And I'm going to tell you, I can honestly say, the fire didn't kindle on you. And the waters didn't overflow you. Didn't pass over you. And I'll tell you why they didn't, because you're still here. You're still sitting on a church pew, listening to the preaching of the Word of God. Folks, let's not underestimate the God we have. I don't care what kind of a trial, what difficulty, what trouble we're involved in. We've got a God tonight that is able to protect us, to put a hedge about us, even as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Even so, God is round about His people. We're sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. There is no way, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a hedge about us, and there is no way that the Lord is ever going to let anything happen to you and I except that which is for our good and for the glory of God. And I'm not boasting about trials and tribulations, but they can get difficult. The Lord wanted Peter to sift him as wheat. Wonder why he didn't want none of the others. Peter's the only one he mentioned he wanted.
Right.
Jesus said, "I pray for you that your faith fail not." And it didn't fail. Some things it did, but it didn't. He made it.
Amen.
He made it. I used that illustration about that sieve up there at Brother McGuire's. My mama used to put that flour in that sieve and turn that little handle. And that flour wasn't quite as good a flour as they got today. It had impurities in it. And when she had turned that little old sieve, that little handle, the flour would fall out on the bottom on that doorboard to make biscuits out of. And there was always some impurities left in the sieve. If that was you and I, that was Peter in that sieve, or you and I in that sieve, the devil would grab that sieve and run around and start showing everybody what you and I are. Look what old Hall is. He just, look at all his impurity. But here comes Jesus right behind him. That really ain't what Hall is. That trial that he went through, that's not Hall. What's Hall is laying on the doorboard. That fine stuff's laying on the doorboard. Hey, he will refine you and I, you listen to me, as gold, yea, as much fine gold. God will refine you and I through the troubles and the trials of this life. Somebody said, you preach a lot on it. I'm going to tell you why I do. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. I didn't say a trouble every now and then, but that word full, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, it meant full, ladies and gentlemen. The only problem is we don't want to recognize our troubles anymore. We took them for granted so long and lived in the world so long and accepted them so long, they're no longer troubles to us. They're just something in life that we've got to get used to. Just sucker up and go on. That's what the world thinks. But I'm going to tell you something. Troubles and trials are there. And waters, they're not going to overflow you. And the fire is not going to kindle on you. When you walk through those trials of affliction, God's putting you through a refining process to purify you, to make you clean, to make you holy. That's right. To conform you to His image. Fear not. Fear not when you walk through the fire. Fear not when you pass through the waters. Fear not when you pass through the sea. For I will be with thee. You can't improve on that. I don't care what kind of a situation you're in life. If Jesus is there with you, everything is all right. Amen. Nice. Amen. That's right. You may be standing in front of a firing squad, but if He's there, everything's all right. Amen. That sounds crazy. It's a fact. If He's there with you, it's all right. We just don't realize the power and the grace and the mercy of our Lord and His goodness to us in the land of the living, His watch care over us. He doesn't watch us like we watch our children. Preacher and I were talking about a little boy in a meeting in a church he was pastoring. They were burning candles because they had a building that had some musky smell to it, and they were burning candles to try to keep the odor of it down. And this little boy went up and licked the top of that candle. It was in a jar and had holes in it. And he licked it and it burned his tongue. His daddy didn't even offer to try to find out what was wrong with the little boy. Eventually the preacher had to go over and talk to the little boy and find out why he was crying and screaming so loud. That daddy paid very little attention to the boy at all. But I'm going to tell you what, that is a far cry from the way God treats His. I've read this old book a whole lot of times, but I've never read once where one of His children ever cried unto Him that He did not come running. Somebody say amen right there. I believe we've got people in our church that if your child went to crying, we got some mommies and daddies in here that know that little old boy's friend, and I'm going to say they're going to make a beeline to that child. And you cry to God in that time of need, I'll guarantee you He'll not stand afar off. He will draw nigh unto you. And deliver you. And then He'll bless you on, give you an ice cream sundae on top of it. Amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, fear not. Some people fear the future. Some people fear failures. Some people fear, you know, failing the Lord, like Moses did. Moses had absolutely no confidence at all. He said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of tongue. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Now get this now. 40 years before this, he was ready to lead Israel out. But now, 40 years later, on the backside of the desert, all of a sudden he's slow of tongue and speech and not an eloquent speaker at all. Lord, you need to get somebody else because I just can't speak. You know that Lord uses the simple things of this world to confound the wise. God doesn't call, there's not many mighty, not many noble men are called. I'm glad that God just calls just plain, simple men to the ministry to preach the gospel. Amen. Come on in the house now. He doesn't need some eloquent speaker. He just needs somebody, ladies and gentlemen, that'll get along with him, get the power of God on them, walk into the pulpit and tell people the gospel that Christ came into the world, that Christ died for the world, that he shed his blood for sinners, gave his life for you and I, went to the grave, and 3 days later, he arose and thanked God one of these days by the grace of God. He's a coming back. Hallelujah. Say amen right there. He doesn't need eloquent people, speakers. He needs people that are willing just to get up. Some folks are scared to death. When I was first called to preach, I was scared. I was petrified. I was going to set the world on fire. I got up and lasted about 5 minutes. I thought I was ready to preach for 2 hours. But it didn't happen that way. About 5 minutes and it was all over. All over. Didn't last long. And I wondered what in the world went wrong. And then I happened to realize when I was a boy, I couldn't even get up in front of my school class and sing Mary's Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey. When the moon shines over the cow shed or something like that, I'll be waiting at the kitchen door. I couldn't even get up and sing that in front of our school. But now the more the merrier. Crowds don't bother me. In fact, they incite me. The bigger the crowd, the better I like it. You know why? The more they are to hear the gospel. The more they are to hear about Jesus. I'm telling you, he's the lover of our soul. The protector of our spirit. He's the keeper of our life. Now I'm going to tell you, he that gave his life will certainly keep our life. We'll not have to worry about losing it. Amen. That's right. And you don't have to worry about serving God. If God calls, hey, by the way, God calls preachers. But there's more work to do in the church other than preaching. Some folks say, well, I couldn't teach Sunday school. I just couldn't. Why not? Are you too lazy to study? Some people don't want to teach Sunday school because they're just too lazy to study. That's a problem right there. You'd be surprised since I've been right here, people that's come to me and said, preacher, I can't do, somebody else can do this. I have had people to tell me, I can't clean very well. I know somebody else can clean a whole lot better than I can. Come on in the house, children. Give me a break. I'm not much, but bless God, I can vacuum a floor. It may not look as good as somebody else's, but if that's the best I can do is the best I can do. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never said one word to anybody around here that done the best they can do. If there are shirkers, if they're drawing back from their duties, oh yeah, I'm going to say something to them. But I'm telling you, if they're doing the best they can do, you never hear me complain one time about it. I'm going to tell this. Now, I hope it don't embarrass it. I hope it don't embarrass it. Will it embarrass you, Brother Mark? You know what we done outside Wednesday? I'm just going to tell it. You'll catch it. Slow freight. Brother Mark's out there working on our building. The staff in here, I give them Thursday and Friday off with pay every year for Thanksgiving. Every year. Have done it for years with pay. And I went to Brother Mark and asked him if he's going to work Thursday or Friday. What are you going to do? And he said, well, whatever you want me to do. I said, well, that's up to you. Well, I can work. I said, won't you take Thursday off? Well, I can work, Brother Hall, if you want to. I said, let me ask you something. I said, would you like to have Thursday off with pay? And he looked at me strange for a minute, and here's what came out of his mouth. He said, Brother Hall, you're the first man I ever worked for to give me a day off with pay. Now somebody said, I wouldn't have done that. I don't care what you wouldn't have done. We forget there is a little verse in the Bible that says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And if it was me on Thursday, I'd want to be home with my family in Big Bird. I don't care if it did make me go to sleep. That's right. Amen. That's right. So, they don't need to fear in, you know, what you, Moses, said he, oh. Joshua, talk about failures. Joshua failed at Ai, but his failure wasn't final. Because he come back in chapter number 8 and took Ai. Amen. That which defeated him, he turned around and defeated.
Yes,
and I'm going to tell you, men, you may lose a little battle every now and then, but we'll win it eventually. We'll win it eventually. We may lose the scrimmage, but we'll win the battle.
Amen.
Every time. And it troubled Joshua for a while. He fell down on his face and began to pray, and God said, get up! There's sin in the camp! I'm going to tell you, the next time he went against Ai, he went full force. And I'm going to tell you, he took that city. He failed one time and felt the regret of it. But just because he failed, God didn't kick him in the seat of the britches and kick him off the job and tell him, you're done, it's over. I'll get somebody else. You just don't know how to handle the situation. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God has got more leeway for mistakes than what you and I have got. You get a hold of that after a while. We want to draw it down tight on people. We don't want to give people room to breathe. God ain't quite that tight on us. You know why? He knows that we're but flesh. And flesh is all we are. And as long as we're flesh, flesh makes mistakes. And as long as we're flesh, we're going to fail. Amen. You can say, I said that because he said that. You want to. We're going to fail. Then I want to say also, a lot of people have fear of failing in their marriage. Failing in their marriage. There's got to be a covenant relationship in marriage. Paul said in Hebrews, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So when I say there's got to be a covenant, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that covenant is not consummated, excuse the language, in the bed. A covenant is consummated by an oath with words. That's what made the covenant with our Lord, between us and the Lord. What's said in that book. And when a man and woman stand together and says, I will, and I do, that is their covenant. Somebody said, oh, they're not married until they, you know, they spend a few nights together. You'll have it annulled before a month, and within a month. Baloney.
Right.
I know a preacher right now is preaching all over the country and has, and his wife was married and had it annulled. As far, 30 days later, as far as I'm concerned, he's a double married man. Come on now. Say amen. And he preaches all over this country. And has for years. He's preaching this pulpit. In fact, we had a missionary in our mission conference. And we didn't know until days later that was going back to marry his second wife because his first wife didn't want to be a missionary. And he was right here in this pulpit. And we didn't know about it until he wrote us a thank you letter for letting him be here. Now, they're not second rate people. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that a covenant marriage, to make it work, is built on a covenant relationship.
Amen.
Those vows that you make to one another. So there's got to be a covenant relationship. There's got to be a commitment. Man and woman's got to be committed to one another. Not always neck gawking at somebody else, fellas.
Right.
You'd be amazed how many times. net golfers. Them old fogies down at the mall sitting down there on them chairs. And bunch of old sorry rascals. Take a cat of nine tails and go down there and whoop about 10 of them. Brother, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to catch one of them looking at my wife. I'm going to tell you that right now. I take offense to that. Do you think that the Lord would not take offense to somebody else casting their eyes upon His bride? I know He would. Do you think He wouldn't protect His bride? I know He would. My wife walked by some fellow over at Walmart in Muhlenberg County one night. He didn't know I was behind her. She walked by and he turned around and looked, turned his head away from me and looked at her and said, "Here, kitty, 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 kitty." When I walked up to him, I said, "Was you saying that to my wife?" His red face got as red as that vest Megan's wearing. And I asked the manager of the store, I said, "Does that man over there work for you, or is he a broker, is he a vendor in here?" And the man said, "No, he's just a vendor." I said, "Well, you better tell that man, he better watch his mouth. He's in, I don't know where he's from, but he's in Kentucky right now. And us Kentucky boys don't cotton to people talking to our wives like that. And I don't." Amen. And then you got to recognize Christ as being the head of the home. And then you got to realize there's got to be communication. You got to talk to one another. Sometimes it's better just to cool, not talk until you cool off, but there's got to be communication. Husbands and wives got to talk. Some people are so afraid of failing in their marriage. The fellow that's in charge of working on our house over there, he's married, been married, and he's living with a woman now. And he said, "I would never marry again." And I said, "Why?" He said, "She won't listen to nothing I ever say." Well, maybe he won't listen to nothing she's got to say. It's a two-way street. There's got to be communication between them. And then you got children that you got to be concerned about with the children in the marriage. Fear not. You don't have to fear a marriage. God can make it last. You don't have to fear what you can do for God. You're not going to do it perfectly. I didn't preach a perfect message tonight or this morning, either one. I don't guess I've ever preached a perfect message in my life. And the older I get, the harder it is to preach on Sunday night because I'm tired. But I'm still hitting it. I'm still swinging at the ball. Still swinging at the ball. But I'm not going to lose confidence in Him. That's who the confidence has got to be in, is in Him, not in us. Can I tell you this, and I'll close? Talking about fear in this stuff. There was a preacher, and he died of cancer some years back. Robert Mullinax. Greenville. He come to chapel one night and preached a 30-minute message in chapel, tabernacle. And as Brother Allen said, it got on. I mean, it was wild in that place. And his 30 minutes was up, and he just turned around from the pulpit like that and went to walk away. And once he just turned back around and walked to the pulpit and said, "Hey, hey, hey!" And when he did, I'm telling you, it just come on. That's all he said was, "Hey, hey, hey." That's all it took. And it was on again. Somebody said, "How did that happen?" It wasn't him, it was God. It's not always in what a man says, God taking it and speaking to people through what is said. And when God speaks, it makes it all worthwhile. Let's stand together.